So, my name's Phil. I work for God by Thmon. God by Thmon is a youth initiative that works on the island. I don't know how much Amy has already shared with you, so I won't go into too much greater detail as to what we do. Okay, I will. I'm being indicated by one of the trustees that I should. Okay, so what we do, we exist because people around the island looked around one day and said the average age in our churches is 65 to 68. There's something wrong. What should we do about it? So a little while later, after prayer, after raising up some money, they employ a worker. That worker then invites interns on. Voila, I am an intern. I'm not all of the interns. Amy, my partner in crime over there, is equally an intern. Hoorah. What we get to do, guys, is we get to go into schools a lot, and we get to serve them in every conceivable way possible. So we've taught RE, we've taught PE, we've taught PSHE, all from a biblical worldview. Get this, I'm told to come into a school, into an RE lesson, and we have to explain the gospel. Oh no, what a pity. We have to go into a PSHE lesson, and we come from a biblical worldview. Oh no. That's awful. All these people start listening and hearing about Jesus. I mean, goodness. And we have assemblies in the mornings where we make absolute fools of ourselves, but they get to hear about stuff from the context and explanation of, well, we love Jesus. In fact, one of our most recent assemblies I thoroughly enjoyed because, get this, 98% of it was directly the Bible. It was brilliant. Loved it. And we got really good feedback of the teachers. It was great. One of them was a bit put out that we were introducing it. But my name's Phil. I'm from City Morning, Kent, the southeast of England. Originally came up here to do my degree, did chemistry with biomolecular science, then stick around for a master's in analytical chemistry. I still don't know much. But what I do know is that actually when I was invited to join God by Thmon, it was the logical workings out of my faith. That's as far as I went. I was like, well, okay, yeah. Well, that would make a great deal of sense, wouldn't it? And so I did. And what I've experienced over that, and I'll cover it again very briefly right at the end, a little plug for them, but I don't want it to detract from what's actually being talked about tonight, is I grew a lot, and it was painful and awkward. I was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Like the more and more sharp edges I produced, the more and more they got shaved off. It was fantastic. That's a little bit about me. Now I'm going to introduce you to the ground rules. I like this bit. So, if I ask you to do something, I have to be prepared to do it first. I think that's reasonable, right? Otherwise, I'd be a hypocrite. Secondly, whatever is talked about has to yield a point of application. Jesus says, if you listen to my words and you do not do them, you're like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. We all know the story, right? And if we don't, just ask me later. If, however, you listen to my words and you do them, you are like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Like, notice, it's not, if you don't hear my words, it was if you don't listen to my words and do them. Okay? So it's got to yield a point of application. Thirdly, if you have questions, find me and ask them. I love questions. In fact, this is probably going to yield, if I succeed in my mission objective, if I succeed in that, okay, you are going to have more questions than you're going to have answers. And that's how I'll know. Either that, or I've explained it perfectly, and you understand perfectly, which would mean that we're perfect people, which can't be true because I'm not perfect. When hearing what's shared, it's up to you to be intentional about it, not me. I'm not going to chase you down. I might a little bit, but only because I love you. But I'm not going to chase you down. It's up to you. It's up to you guys to put it into application. It's up to you guys to ask those questions. So what am I talking about? I was approached by Ian to do 10 to 30 minutes on what I do with my one-to-ones. And what I do with my one-to-ones is fairly simple. It's discipleship and evangelism. I get the opportunity, so take one of my, an evening, I will rock up at someone's house. Most of the guys that I see, well, the age range is between 11 and 20. And either it's discipleship or it's evangelism. And there is a clear distinction. I'm not really going to focus on that a great deal. So what I'm going to do and what I'm going to talk about is why do I do what I do, and then how do I do it? So first of all, why? Okay, if there are Christians in here who have been so for maybe 3 months, of all the things I want you to get, and you can, if you so desire, switch off after this. I know, permission. Right, but what I want you to get is that your Father loves you with all of his heart. Your Father loves you with all of his heart. He has wonderful and beautiful intentions for you. They're not always easy, but they are so good. He's the good, good Father that actually our hearts long for. That actually, like, we built, there's something in us, it just won't let go. There's a desperate hunger for him. He's also a master strategist. Like, this guy's plans are like 2.0 anything that we can come up with. He's incredible. Like, he has plans, hopes, and dreams that he longs for us to trust in him with. And if we trust in him with them, we will become the people he has made us to be. But that's if we choose to. We can resist and we can say no. A lot of people do. But he is so good that he wants not just you and me. Like, that good, good Father, that's not just for you. It is all for you. But it's not just for you. It's for everyone outside as well. We all say it. Yeah, I get it, Phil, I get it. Yeah, okay, whatever. But seriously, it's for all of them too. Every single one of them. It says in the Bible, I desire that no man may perish, but all might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Like, all of them. The radical thing in the Old Testament was when Isaiah turns around and goes, hang on, you want the Gentiles as well? And that's the point. That is exactly the point where God goes, yeah, mate, my ways are above your ways. My thoughts, they are just 2.0 of yours. They are above your thoughts. God wants all of them. So for you, less than 3 months a Christian, praise God. Find someone who will disciple you. Find someone who loves Jesus. I mean, loves Jesus. All right. And if when you're listening, you find that the other two categories of people that I'm speaking to, you don't quite identify with them yet, okay, then just stick with the first group. That's okay. That's actually a really good and healthy and humble place to be. Go and find someone that loves Jesus. You'll know because they're infectious. They got something and you want it. I found one about a year and a half ago. It's like amazing. And run after them. Ask them, will you disciple me? Make sure they're following Jesus, obviously. Now, for the more concrete thinkers, that is those of you that are very logical, it's, okay, this is the rule, therefore this is what I will do. Here's why. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, not me, that's Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. Look at that, that's Jesus, right? Right there, second line, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, seventh word in. Make disciples. It's exciting. It's a command. This is for all of us. There are no exceptions. Jesus did not say, but you don't have to do this if you're a minister, youth worker, single mum, dustbin cleaner, professional coach, couch surfer, sorry, or even if you're already doing all the things. I love you guys who are doing all the things. Stop it. If this is not part of us living out a Jesus-centered life of obedience to the one we love, then we are not living a Jesus-centered life for the one we say we love. Now, for you abstract thinkers, okay, so we've got, you know, very early stage guys. Bless you guys. It's awesome. For you guys who are like, okay, I just get the rules, fantastic. For you abstract thinkers, we go into a little bit more of why. God loves to do this. He loves to actually explain. And he puts himself out on a pedestal and goes, do you know what? I want them. And it's like, why, God? Because I'm that loving. And he loves to show himself, loves to show his character. First of all, we're told to. Secondly, the Father sent his Son to invest in ones. Jesus could have gone to the stadium and spent all of 3 years in the stadium. He could have done that, but he didn't. What he did was he invested heavily into 12, a lot. They were homeless with him for 3 years. Can you imagine that? How attractive a guy has that got to be for you to voluntarily be homeless for 3 years following this guy around? He invests in three of them a lot. Sorry, mate, I'll bring it up. And then says to one of them, and upon this rock I will build my church. That's incredible. Jesus himself, the Son of God, decides that the best method to change the world, to show what the Father is like, is discipleship, is one-to-one, is spending time, is doing life together, is modeling. Secondly, if you want to change the world, you invest in ones. Okay, so modern psychology has only just caught up with this, and businesses have only just caught up with this. There's a reason now why Tesco, the place where I also work, so I can eat, but there's a reason why Tesco's brings in classrooms of children to go round and just enjoy the store. What a lovely thing to do. Oh, that's really sweet. No, that's very sinister, actually. What you're doing is you're training those children that good things and good place to be is Tesco's. Yeah, I'm sorry, Asda. Do you know what I mean? Like, we've got it. We've twigged. Modern science and psychology, has caught up with the Son of God. Not quite, but, you know, we're getting there. However, this also works two ways, okay? In that if you, like, invest positively, you'll change the world that way. If you invest negatively, you'll change the world that way. Jesus says to the Pharisees, you guys go out and you find people, you make them your disciples, and they become twice the child of hell that you are. Whoa. That's a bit much. Jesus said it, though. Why do we disciple? We model. We get to demonstrate what God is like. That's a privilege, guys. That's really exciting. We're called as ambassadors. You remember that? God is a relational God. Before anything was made, in Ephesians 1, what you see is that actually God is, before any sin has happened, before anything has happened, what you see is it says that, and God predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. He predestined us for adoption? Well, there's no sin yet. And interestingly, that us is the same one as the world in John 3:16. Oh, yeah, that's right. He wants all of us. He wants all of us. He doesn't want it for a power trip. God was completely satisfied with the Trinity. He didn't need to make more people to feel good about himself. He desired to share in relationship. For those of you that are married couples who have had children, you will understand this better than I will. There is something that makes you want to have more. And it's not out, you don't like give your love and take the love away from that person to give it to your child. It's this entirely new love that comes through. And they get to enjoy it. Even if for the first 5 years they've got no idea what's going on. Lastly, they also teach us. If you approach discipleship on a span of, I've got it sorted, therefore I'm going to bring everyone else up to my level, you're going to learn a lot, hopefully, unless you choose not to. Like, the one-to-ones that I get to go and see teach probably me more than I will ever teach them. And it's amazing. You want to learn patience? Get a one-to-one that's gone, like, that cannot focus on one task for more than 3 minutes. That will teach you patience, because you love that guy, but he's going nuts. It will teach you patience, and God is like that with us. Don't think for 1 second that because we think we've got it all together that he's happy with that. Big question. Okay, great. How? First of all, principle. Get to know Jesus. I know that's not what's up there. Get to know Jesus. No, really, go get to know him. Like, this is why I'm saying for you guys of that first category, go, like, just, I want you to know that God loves you. I want you to know it. I want you to know it not just in this abstract concept. I want you to get it until it saturates every fiber and being of your body. Why? Because it's really important that you get that. It's really important that you get that God loves you. He's a good, good Father. He loves you. Get to know Jesus. Why? We become like the gods we serve. Look at how Jesus does it. Like, I'm not even touching strategy yet, but Jesus lived completely in submission to the Father. I quite enjoyed that when I turned up, what was on the screen in bright white with a red background was, it's all about Jesus. Yes. Fantastic. Yes. If our lives are not completely submitted to Jesus, we cannot approach the Father. I said it. Submitting your life to Jesus defends you from then actually when you're coming to God and you're going, well, I want more of you. I want to be with you. I want to spend time with you. Look, guys, like the stuff in the Old Testament is written down for our example. And what happens is a group of people go in to the place where God is dwelling, and they just go in. They're not priests. They don't want to. Well, no, there was a group. There were priests, actually. But they go in. They're not invited in. They're not welcomed in. They go in. God is so good, that actually it destroys them. And they die. If we're not submitting to Jesus, if we're not laying out every single piece and part of our lives to Jesus, don't disciple anyone. Lest in teaching you find yourself disqualified. Paul writes about it. There were no idols in Jesus' life. He was completely sold out to what the Father wanted for him, and it was good. So guys, if there is sin in your life, if there is stuff that actually, you know it's not right, go and get it sorted. I'm not saying go and do it alone. Quite the opposite. Guys, remember, group one, get someone to disciple you. Get someone to come alongside you. Get someone to love you. Get someone who loves Jesus and is walking out the walk to show you. I've met them. They are real, I promise. So you live the life. You model it. You show them. Pour out love on them. You're modeling him. That's all you're doing. Your primary objective is to show them what God is like. Now, love doesn't spare the rod, by the way. And so there will sometimes be frank discussions that you have along the lines of, no, mate, that's not cool. Okay, I would phrase it that way. You might say it differently, but, you know, yeah, I hit the guy at school today. Dude, that's not cool. If I don't love them, I won't say that. Pray for them. If nothing else, good grief. Pray for them. Ask God for strategy. I told you this should breed more questions. Like, God is a God who speaks. He didn't stop speaking at the end of the New Testament. I know, I've heard him. Like, little story for you. So I'm going off to meet a guy that I one-to-one with. So I'm headed into the island, and I'm going, okay, God, I want you to blow apart, you know, what I actually understand of what could possibly happen this time. I'm a bit frustrated because I've been praying for this guy and I haven't heard anything. And so I'm like, okay, well, just please blow it out of the water. And he rings me about halfway through there. I pick up the phone, and he's in Bangor, so it's like, okay, God. Okay, right, fine. All right, we're going to Bangor. So I pop off to Bangor, and it's like, God, what's going on? God's still saying silent right now. But as I'm headed over to Bangor, I'm like, okay, God, well, please, with the, just, again, blow out my expectations. Yes, please. And what we find is that he's there with another guy. He's just been kicked out of his house. And we get to, like, demonstrate the love of God to this guy. So what I'm watching is there's me, there's the guy that I'm one-to-one-ing, and here's his friend, and his friend is seeing just a little bit of what we share, because this is a guy that I disciple. This is a guy that I invest in, that I love, that loves Jesus. Like, then we sat in the car. He's now spilling out how he's been kicked out of his home, and it's like, God, what should we do? You house him. Right. We got him up in a hostel. He's gone back to England now, and he's taken a Bible with him, praise God. But whenever I've come up to a place and a position where actually you get to speak into someone's life the greatest and most effectively is when you hear what God has to say and then you do it. Like, my deepest regret is when I've heard what God's had to say about a strategy and then I've not done it. And I've paid for those too. Ask him. Pray for them. Invest in the ones. Model him. Model him. Invest in them. Invest in them. Like, guys, these are just my evenings. If Jesus is Lord of my life, I can give up my evenings. I'll get over it. Model him. Seek him. Model him. Starting to get the picture. When you miss it, and you will, apologize. I learned my lesson, my most profound lesson as to how to deal with when I get things wrong was when my mentor turned around and said, Phil, I'm really sorry. I was like, what have you done? And he told me that actually he'd said some stuff that wasn't helpful. And he asked for my forgiveness. That solidly took me back. This is a demonstration of vulnerability. What I saw then was that this man didn't have everything put together. And so what did he do? It pointed me back at Jesus. It pointed me right back at Jesus. Be sensitive, but be open. Why I say be sensitive, it's like be wise with what you're open about, okay? I'm a young male. It is not smart for me to disciple young females while I'm single. In fact, while I was dating, not wise. If I was married, okay, maybe. If I've got the maturity. But otherwise, it's not smart. Why? Because there's other things that I've got to get over in my own life. I'm submitting to Jesus in them, and the manner by which I'm submitting to him is I will not do that. Do you get what I mean? Okay, I've got one nod. That was good. Two nods. Three, four, five, six, seven. That's great. Excellent. But prepare for vulnerability. They will see straight through you. If you try to fake it, you'll fail. They'll see straight through you. I promise. Like, kids are perceptive, man. Lastly, as a principle, and this one's probably my favorite. Yeah. So, go make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, including go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Oh, that's interesting. What is the point of Christian life? We are to, first of all, get to know Jesus. Love him with everything you've got. Love him with everything you've got. And then be obedient to him. Because he got plans for you, son. And that's not a specific gender word. He's got plans for you. He's got plans and intentions, and they are good. And part of them is this command right here. Go and make disciples of all nations. What happens when we start going and making disciples of all nations? That happens. One person invests in two. Just two. I know, my animation didn't work. I won. Two, invest in two each. Those two, invest in two, invest in two, invest in two, invest in two. You want to change the world, change it by ones. Because ones that are taught well and that you invest in and you pour into and you show what the Father is like to, if they capture the vision, they will go themselves and they will go one step further every single time. Imagine if that was achieved in a year. Just that I invested in two and they then went and invested in two. And they then went and invested in two. Within 4 years, we're there. 5 years, we're there. What if everybody in this church was doing that? I told you what I do is discipleship and evangelism. If there is sin in their life, if there is sin in your life, and you are okay with that, you are not a disciple of Jesus, get off the stage. If there is habitual sin in your life that you are not submitting to Jesus on, and I speak as much to me as I do to any of you, you are not following Jesus and you are not submitting to him. Go and get discipled. Go and find out what the Father's like. You can come to me and tell me it's very hard. I know I've been there and I've done it and I've rationalized my way through years of my life. Years of them. But it's up to us to be intentional. And God promises that he'll give us the ability. So get on it. What I do with one-to-ones who have habitual sin in their lives is I evangelize to them. I'm not discipling them because they cannot grow. Why? Ultimately, I have to be a disciple of Jesus. Ultimately, they are disciples of Jesus. It's up to them. If I've got it wrong, I've got to figure it out. If they've got it wrong, I'm going to love them to bits and back again. I'm going to love them because that's what the Father is like. He's not always gentle. He is most of the time, but he's not always gentle. Okay. Hello. Life responding to Jesus is a life of growth. Growing, for those of you who are, well, growing upwards or downwards, depending on your age, is painful. It it's awkward. I remember the days when my voice suddenly broke. Oh, that was exciting, I tell you, for everyone involved. It was brilliant. You want to be humiliated in front of the girls you like? Hello. Oh, boy. It was a joy, I tell you. It doesn't turn out how we plan or necessarily how we think. We make a lot of mistakes. But guys, we've got to get over ourselves and learn some humility. If we're not prepared to grow, I don't know that we'd make fantastically useful disciples. We don't know what we're doing. I'd say I don't know what I'm doing 98% of the time, and 2% of the time I'm deceiving myself. But we have a wonderful master and friend. He's got to be that. He's got to be master as well as friend. He's also got to be friend as well as master. Don't divorce those two. Who dearly loves and cares for us. We are in good hands. He never said it would be easy. Quite the opposite. This is my favorite. Get to know him. If at any point you start to lose your weight, or at any point you start to think, okay, I'm not quite sure what I'm doing, get plugged back into the nature and character of God. All right? Read your Bible. Get alongside people that get it. As I said, you'll see them. They're infectious. There's something that they've got, and you want it. This is probably also one of my favorites. Why? When I first became a Christian at 17, when I first responded to Jesus when I was 17, being a Christian is a walk. When I first responded to Jesus at 17, one of the things that just got me was, I don't know what I'm doing. I need someone who will actually show me. And no one turned up for 4 and a bit years. I went through, very involved in the Christian Union. I was very good, very, very good at being completely sacrificial with regards to, I'm going to go and do the thing that I know I should do because I should do it because I'm a Christian and I'm in the Christian Union, for crying out loud. I mean, come on. Honor you guys just quickly, though. That missions week was awesome. Well done. I was only able to be there on Tuesday night. I wanted to come Thursday night as well, but I couldn't. But well done, guys. Well done. That was a good effort. That was really good. I then met this guy. His name is Joe. When I first met him, there was something about him. And I was like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what you got, but I want it. One of my main reasons for joining Goldbyth Morn, sorry, Neil. One of my main reasons for joining Goldbyth Morn was that man right there. He invited me and said, well, do you want to join on for a year? I was like, I don't know what it is that you've got, but I want it. I didn't tell him. Not till later. Within a year and a half, the amount that I've grown, and praise God, he has used Joe, he has used others, he's used me, I know, he's used my one-to-ones, oh boy, to grow me. And as I have continued to respond to Jesus and actually make him my Lord, then growth stays like that. And it stays like that. It doesn't stop. You're either going up it or down it, right? It's not up to me. My hope is that I've left you with a few more questions than answers. My hope is that actually you get what I've said and you understand what I'm saying, but there may or may not be some level of, okay, what? I've heard what you've said. I've heard some of the hows, but you haven't actually told me any kind of strategy. Good. That's great. Come find me and ask me. Talk to me. If you're someone that wants to be discipled, brilliant. Talk to your eldership. If there's no one in your eldership that they know of, I will try and put you in touch with some people. I don't know. I genuinely don't know. But it's such an important part, guys. For those of you who are like, actually, I think I could disciple someone. Brilliant. Good. Go. Make disciples of all nations. You can even start in your own church. Because let's be honest, this is not about converts. This is about disciples. Why is it about disciples? Because, guys, it's all about Jesus. He's so good and he's so wonderful. That is why I do what I do. That's why I want to do what I do. That's why my life looks the way it does. It's because slowly, surely, bit by bit, more and more is getting chipped off until actually my life is entirely submitted to Jesus, and that's where we're called to be.